the Double R's Morning Circus with your host, Rolf and Boner. What's going on, Rolf?
Nothing.
Hey, looks like a lot of traffic out there on the roads today, huh? I know. I flipped this guy off and then I dropped my trowel and showed him my ass. That was my pants going down. What were you up to this week, man? What did you do this weekend? That's a good point. Hey, we watched that show Lost. You know, it's a good show.
Scooter and the gang went down to Club Bang for the weekend. It was great.
Oh, yeah. You guys were doing that live remote. That was great. They had microbrews, right? Microbrews?
Yeah, microbrew fest.
Nice. I just got back from the dentist, man. I know. I got back from the dentist, and I thought, hey, I just spent a lot of money. I was in a lot of pain. It was real boring. Was it the dentist or my ex-wife?
My girlfriend said she wanted to see other people, so I got a subscription to People Magazine for her.
Aha! Yeah, all right. So, we got some top 40s we're going to be playing for you later. We got some rock and roll to make your morning drive a lot more easy on the ears. But I figured for, sit around and shoot the... And, maybe talk about... Did you get any... this week, Rolf?
I sure did.
Good point, man.
It's not called Club Bang for a reason.
All right. What else? Hey, man, we had a good weekend. Hanging out with some friends, right?
Yeah, sure did.
Yep, that was fun. A lot of you came along just to hear about that weekend. We'd like to thank you for that. Nose flute over there. Rolf busted out the nose flute like it's nobody's business.
That's right, Boner.
That's like if some dude came in here right now and said, hey, what is that, a nose flute? I'd say, it's none of your business, Willis.
Skin flute.
All right, so I have a farting contest later on.
What?
And we're gonna have some hot chicks come in later.
Kathy and Jimmy's coming in at the 9 o'clock hour.
Kathy and Jimmy, always a big friend of the Dharma Lord Morning Circus.
Very big. Wah.
Hey, come on now. She's coming in later. She might be listening in her car right now.
Uh oh.
You don't want her to pop all four tires. No, what? Kathy, we kid with Kathy. And we got those hot chicks coming in later. We're gonna be playing Put the Post-its on the Hot Chicks. Post-its. Ooh, can I get away with that? FCC. I don't know, man. Hey, did you catch that show Lost last night? Yeah, I thought you did. Watch this. I'm gonna ask Rolf a question, all right?
How about that Sanjaya? What?
See, doesn't even know where he is, man. Hey Rolf, are you a reader'd? See, he doesn't even know. I can say whatever I want, but it gets old after a while because, you can't make fun of the handicapped.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Enough of that talk. Hey, guys, you want to get real serious, get back into an actual Dharma Lars moment? Back what we used to do back in the day in our old format, talk about that show Lost. You remember that on ABC? Yeah, let's get into that, huh?
All right.
Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Dharma Lars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Dharma Lars podcast begins now.
Is everyone prepared to be blown away by Ben and Ralph and Jimmy?
Here at the Dharma Lars podcast.
I'm going to have to talk to my special friend to make me another opening.
Is it the Snuffleupagus, dude? Is that your special
friend? For the second season. Yeah.
That would be cool. A different opening.
Like, yeah. Wait for season two.
Respect this one, but move on to new one. Be cool.
Yeah. Because I still feel bad that Jimmy isn't included in the opening.
Yeah.
Because he's just a part of the show as we are.
Talk to him. If we can get that, that'd be sweet.
Yeah. No, I'm talking to him right. That's what I'm doing right now.
Oh, so if we can get that would be sweet.
So the dude that did the intro for us, if you could, if you're feeling up for it, if you're not too busy.
Just mix it up a bit.
Do another one. Or if there's any new listeners out there that think they could pull off an overproduced opening for the Dharma Lars, go for it. You have till February.
Yeah, send us an MP3 and maybe we'll rotate them.
And better make it awesome.
And we can tell who it came from. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I like how when he says the Dharma Lars podcast begins now, it sounds like he was running out of time or he just remembered something. And he's like, I got to get this done. But I've always liked our intros. They're cool. I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph.
And we're here to talk about the things that we want to talk about in this segment. And then later on, we'll talk about that show Lost that everyone seems so hip on these days.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I would ask you how your week is, but our week has been
insane.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody knows how our week was.
Our week's been on the charts.
Our week has been way up on the charts. The last time we guys, or the our last
regular show,
our greatest hits episode.
Greatest hits
was our episode. I mean, it's just like any other week was our episode. Yeah. The following day, we posted another episode, and we got a lot of comments saying, "How'd you pull that one off?" You got episodes like, or you got people saying, you know, this is totally a surprise. How come you didn't tell us? Or I can't believe that you guys did this. The funny thing is I posted our greatest hits episode Friday night at around 10:30 Pacific Standard Time.
Same time as usual.
Woke up at 9 a.m. Saturday morning Pacific Standard Time and had a message in my inbox and from a certain star from the show that we all love, and you saw the result of that.
There. So it wasn't like we were holding out on, or sitting back on anything. It was just a total surprise to us as well.
We were surprised about 12 hours before you guys were.
Yeah.
I got the message at 9 in the morning, and you guys got the show maybe like
9:30, 10 at 9.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And because of it, I had sent Jorge a message telling him thank you because of our show with Jorge Garcia. The Darmalars have just been off the map in iTunes.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of downloads and a lot of plays. So, you know, hey, if you're new, come on in. We spend a little bit of time bullshitting. We go explicit. We play a little blue. And then we talk about the show. We don't recap or anything, but we do like to give our take on the small intricacies of the show that we noticed. Like, for example, a box of cookies.
Yeah, and people's hair.
And people's hair. Yeah, we love talking about hair.
It's funny. It's like, if you guys are just joining us, I mean, this is essentially our last Lost podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to have two Lost podcasts during the hiatus. One for Comic-Con, one for the DVD preview.
Right. Because
we're going to get the DVDs early, like we did last year. And, but we will be around for the summer. I mean, we're not going to be talking about Lost, but we'd love if you guys stuck around and got to know us a little more.
Yeah.
And we'd love to get to know you a little more. Before Lost starts back up in February.
We promise not to sit here in Ralph's bedroom and record if we're, like, bored or we have nothing to say. We're going to get together, and we're going to talk, and we're going to try to... It'll be, like, the first segment every week.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's going to be free form, but, you know, come along, and you guys can maybe learn a thing or two, because we're fucking smart.
Yeah, we're really smart people.
Me especially.
Especially Ben. but especially me.
But especially Ralph.
So anyway,
Jorge was talking about Scrabble. He talked about it here.
I know, and then Dominic mentioned it on Conan on like Friday or whenever
he
was on.
That corroborates Jorge's story.
Jorge was correct by talking about.
Ralph plays Scrabble really well. Like, you do not want to go up against Ralph.
Which is funny because, I mean, we joke about me being smart, which is untrue. I am not a very smart guy. I'm not very book smart. But for some reason, when it comes to word games like Scrabble,
you're the dark
horse. Especially, what's the other one? Scattergories. I have freaking pwned you guys so much.
Nobody except me expects it, and like people will say, "But he doesn't even read." And it's like, well, he chooses not to read because it doesn't entertain him.
Because I can form so many words in my head that I don't need to read. Oh, you put these words in this combination?
Please, I did that 12 times before breakfast.
Speaking of reading, I just want to throw this out real quick. Madman Atomic Comics number 2 came out this week. If you haven't picked it up, the first one, I recommend it.
Yeah.
Part 2 is about as mind-blowing as Lost was this week.
It was, you know, I was not a Madman fan back in the day like Ralph was, but I've been reading his comics, and I'm having a hell of a time. It's a good little story.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see how that all plays out eventually.
It's going to last for... The series does not have an end in sight.
If you can handle watching Lost and, you know, being teased by answers and given more questions, then maybe you're well-suited to a comic book, which is a story every month, and it's like 20 pages.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's 37 pages, I think is the count. And it's...
it was funny as there've been a lot of comic books over the years. Like, I was a big comic book reader back in the day, but I kind of stopped. And then it got into a point where I was like, you know what I'll do is I'll just wait until they collect them all so I can read it in one go and not have to sit around and wait. But yet I still make fun of people that watch Lost on DVD. So
yeah.
I'm a hypocrite, basically, is what I want to say.
Yeah. But I mean, every month I'm going to have Madman. I'm just going to toss it in your lap and you're going to read it. So,
it's going to be really convenient.
So anyway, yeah.
I'm just going to toss it in my lap like you do every month.
I did this week, man. Toss it in your lap.
It looks like it's in like a donut bag. Ralph has his comic book in, and I was like, sweet.
They didn't have any backing boards. They were out of backing boards at the comic book store. So
weak. You should talk to the Better Business Bureau.
I do own a short box now. I don't know if you noticed
that behind
you. I did
when I came in. It was blocking the books that I've been borrowing from Stevie. I saw it. I was like, hey, Ralph's really getting into the scene. He's got a box for comic books now.
Yeah, I'm back.
That's good. I've got a filing cabinet. Wow. But they are not filed. They're horribly misfiled. I would not tolerate that at work.
Get on that.
No, I will not.
Are they in donut bags?
I don't have. I've got like some of my good ones and some of my favorite ones in bags.
In bags,
but most of them are just running free.
Yikes!
Yeah, they're exchanging bacteria.
All floppy and shit.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of floppy, oh wait, was that?
Speaking of floppy, I went to the dentist for reals. For realsies, I just got back from the dentist right now, but it was just a cleaning, so no big deal.
Okay,
so I'm not as cranky as I might have been.
So this is going to be the cleanest mouth podcast ever?
That's right.
All right, fuck that.
Are you getting any feedback off my clean teeth over here?
Yeah.
My reverb? This tomorrow is huge. I mean, Saturday. I keep thinking of today's Friday because it's I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
And we're
recording. Yeah,
we're recording.
So you've totally thrown me off. But Saturday is huge. We're going to go see Pirates, and I'm fucking fired up for that.
Yeah.
I love Pirates.
You're probably as fired up for Pirates as I am for Transformers.
It may be. I think Pirates is my most anticipated film so far of the year.
Yeah.
And, well, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes, bro.
I know.
That's going to be a lot of pirating.
Yep.
But we're going to go see that, and we'll talk about that on our first show, Dudu Kaka.
Yes. Which, today I kept meaning to make a new logo for the Lars, but...
Well, I'm still going to scan those pictures and send them to you.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
I'll do that tomorrow when I'm not at work.
All right.
What else? We have anything else to share? Memorial Day weekend?
Nah. Yeah, Memorial Day weekend's coming up.
You know what's funny? Here's a story about Ralph. Back in the day when he was working, he used to complain about Memorial Day weekend because we'd all have it off and do a little barbecue.
Yeah, I think Labor Day was more of a problem, but Memorial Day was also a problem.
Well, the only way he would know when one of them's coming up, you know, short of consulting a calendar, which he doesn't do, like, hey, scan ahead and see what
I wonder what the calendar says for me.
I'm check the calendar this morning. But the only way he'd know if to ask for the day off from work was if there was a movie coming out on Memorial Day.
Yeah, because it says coming Memorial Day.
And you're like, oh, yeah, I should ask for that off. So there was a couple of years where you had to, like, get an ER or call in sick or just miss the barbecue. Yeah. That's not a problem. Now.
Not anymore. I'm off.
Hey, can I have tomorrow off? Sure, I can. Thanks, me. That's you talking to yourself because you're your own boss.
No one's the boss of me.
Shit, dude.
Speaking of boss.
This episode of Lost was pretty boss, don't you think?
Yeah, you want to get into
Let's
it?
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. I've been dreading.
I thought you were talking about boss
now. I've been dreading this, doing this show for the last day.
Because,
Let's get into it.
Episode 3X22, Through the Looking Glass.
Through the Looking Glass.
And you can tell where they're going to... Well, obviously, you can tell because it's an hour in, but you can tell that there was a definite ending point of the first episode for syndication and packaging and stuff. You know how it's going to be two episodes eventually. It's going to be Through the Looking Glass part one and part two. I would imagine, like, if they ever do get syndicated, you know, they say the magic number is 100, but Lost, I'm sure, will do it pretty soon.
Yeah.
You would have to have an hour-long episode.
Okay, so they're splitting it. Yes. And so the Hurley thing would be the end of
there was
part
something
one? Or the Walt thing?
Directly at the hour break. Yeah, it was Walt and Locke, I think.
Okay.
So
yeah, that'd be a great ending, dude.
I was watching just that part last night because I was trying to rewind it for my roommate, Matt Clark, Ultraviolet fan number one. He was going to bed because that's what Lost has done to people lately is make them go to bed instead of watch Lost.
Yeah.
So I had to rewind it because I didn't want him to, you know, spoil himself by trying to catch up to where we were.
Okay.
And that's how I noticed where it was. So how do you want to talk about it? Do you want to go through the whole episode? Or do you want to talk about the different scenes that were happening?
Well, I don't. I would just talk about the episode.
Okay.
I don't see how we can do any kind of, like, easy flowing conversation stick to any kind of timeline in
just
this
keep
story.
Interrupting each other and go on with what we want to talk about.
one of the main points.
Oh, you know what was
the main points I want to bring up is the title Through the Looking Glass. Last week you'd mentioned that a looking glass is not something like a magnifying glass or a telescope.
Yeah,
it's in fact a mirror.
Correct.
Now that we have finished three seasons,
yes,
and we have three seasons in front of us.
Hey,
I was thinking that the looking glass is in reference to now we're going to see the opposite of what we know.
It's going
to
be the reverse.
We're going to see present day storyline with
island.
Island flashbacks.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So I think that the looking glass is now we could hold up that looking glass to 1, 2, and 3,
and we'll see 4, 5, and 6.
4, 5, and 6 be
the opposite.
The complete.
Style. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean,
format.
If that is where they go, I mean, clearly at the end, Jack's off the island.
Yes.
And whether they
in the beginning.
And at the beginning. Whether they go directly to that point or if they start from where they were on the island and show it, either way, it now counts as flashbacks.
Yeah.
So now it's off-island, real-time, on-island flashbacks.
Yeah.
Or even other flashbacks. It'll be interesting to see what kind of...
It will be... The shows will take place from the time of rescue up until present day.
Wow.
So
that's 3 year. Well, if it goes till 2010, that's 6 years they have to cover.
When, yeah.
So that's interesting. God, I did not expect it. On all the things that we speculated about, we never said, I wonder if they get rescued.
I did.
You did? Well, yeah, like the day before, right?
Kind of a couple days. But I kind of had as soon as Desmond mentioned the helicopter,
yeah,
I said, wouldn't that be a fucking kicker if they get rescued this season?
If they get off the island.
And knowing that we still have three seasons left set in stone.
Yeah. And how?
And
what are they
you had mentioned in a previous episode of the Darmalars that you thought it'd be interesting if they did some off-island episodes and see the repercussion of them.
Yeah, trying to reintegrate society.
Yeah,
deal with what they saw on the island,
kind of like a Castaway type of thing.
And they're still good guys, bad guys. You know,
yeah,
there's still Ben and his people, presumably, and there's still people he refers to as the bad. I mean,
Alpert and
it's gonna be a totally different show.
Yeah.
So,
but
it's fascinating.
Here's the thing that I'm excited about.
Okay.
All the characters on Lost to me were kind of getting tiresome. I was kind of getting bored. I mean, great, another Jack episode. Well, who do you want instead of another Jack episode? Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, we know pretty much everything we need to know. If it was another Sawyer episode, what is any a different prison? What's going to happen this time?
Right.
So now, what they've done is we have all these characters still alive.
Yes.
And now we're going to get to see them in a whole different kind of story. And it's going to be really interesting, as we saw this week, how interesting Jack has become since off the island.
Yes.
Kate, even in her one scene, was completely different. She was really reserved.
Yeah.
She was wearing makeup. She wasn't very tomboyish.
She's not in jail.
She's not in jail. She's not running. She just kind of strolled up. So
they've got to explain.
Already, Kate and Jack are more interesting.
Yes.
Due to this whole new fresh take, and I really like this idea.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like they did a fast forward on the characters, skip ahead a couple years,
yeah.
And now these characters who we thought, well, we really have a handle on them, and we know all their ins and outs.
And we automatically, when was the last time you really wanted to know something about Jack's past?
None.
It's been a while,
because every time an episode
comes
up.
Since probably Tale of Two Cities, where he was trying to find out who Sarah was saying.
Exactly.
So now we immediately want to know what has happened to Jack between the time he got rescued and the time we ended the show.
When he starts on the show, he's this a total unknown.
Yes.
So we get a couple of episodes of flashbacks to find out who he is, and now we have a handle on that. And now he's a total unknown again.
Yeah.
And we're like, but we knew this guy. How did he get to this guy?
Yeah.
And they could do that for everyone. I mean, Jin and Sun, where are they?
Yeah, and it's going to be awesome because the next Jin flash or the next Jin storyline that takes place in the present, he could speak perfect English.
Yes.
And then we could learn about how he's been living in America and the repercussions of him with Mr. Pike and...
Yes, and I think that's one thing is why I don't think it's necessarily going to be island flashbacks. I think a lot of it's going to have to be off-island flashbacks after the crash. And it's going to be, you know, flashback. This will be Jin now, what he's doing now, and this will be his flashback to a year ago off the island when he and Mr. Pike finally had it out.
Okay.
You know, I think that's a possibility.
Do you think they'll abandon the island altogether? Locke is still on the island.
Who do you think the newspaper article is about? Any ideas?
I have no. I can't even speculate a million people, but I have no reason to believe why. Like, I don't have any reason
we don't
to
have enough
justify
info,
that.
Because yeah. Like, we could say, I could sit here and say, well, it can't be Hurley because he has too many friends. They would be there at the funeral.
Yes.
But if Jack has got this long, scruffy beard, addicted to OxyContin, total jerk, about to kill himself, then I can assume that Hurley's been through some changes and maybe he's alienated all his friends.
Yeah.
So everything I think I know.
Maybe he actually is starting to let his money get the better,
of him. And maybe
God, this show's going to be so awesome. I know it's not going to be the island, but it's just automatically, it's going
to
be awesome.
There's going to be like an episode where Claire needs money for the baby and she goes to Hurley about it and he won't see her because he's a total douche now.
Yeah.
It could be like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They've opened a lot of doors. Which is funny because they landed on such a mysterious and potential filled island that they had a lot of doors already and they decided to do this. But I think we heard like way early in the beginning, they said at like some interview or maybe it was at Comic-Con where they're like, you know, this could be the kind of show where four years from now you'll say, you know, were they even on an island? Or do you remember when they were on that island?
Yeah, I don't remember that. But because I had this seed in my head when Desmond mentioned the helicopter that they were going to do like, hey, what if they fucking got rescued? That'd be insane.
Yeah.
I was watching The Answers, which was the recap episode with Damon and Carlton.
I missed that one.
And Damon, in the episode, says, well, you know, if they get rescued, the show's over, right? And then he does his goofy giggle to Carlton. And then I was like, holy shit, I totally think they're going to get rescued.
And I have this not over.
Yeah, and so I posted on the scottandsteve.blogspot.com on the pre-episode discussion.
About that?
I said, this is my final finale prediction that they're going to get off the island.
It's funny because what they kind of did was pigeonhole our thinking.
Uh-huh.
I mean, here's a show that starts with a plane crash.
Yeah.
So you think, well, they're on the island and the whole goal is to get off the island and that's the goal.
Yeah.
And then you stop to think about what happens after that. And here we are after that already. And so we weren't really looking at it because we didn't think past that. We thought here's the timeline of the show. It's plane lands, helicopters. I mean, how many times have we talked about the final episode being Batman swooping down from the sky to save them or
you know,
everyone's
the
dead.
Ship comes in and gets on the island and I always thought that Sawyer would be the one to stay behind, like maybe Kate had died and he has nothing to live for in the outside world, that all his actual best memories took place on the island. And I always had this image of these helicopters flying away from the island like the end of the original Contra video game.
Exactly.
And Sawyer just standing there by himself.
And so for us, it's been like, here's the colored in part of the show that we assume can exist. But now we're on the other side of that. We're through the looking glass. And here there be monsters, dude. There's like uncharted territory.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty sweet. Walt was all grows up, but that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, some people on the Blogspot mentioned that they thought it was strange that Walt was grown up. But when Locke saw Boone in his sweatbox, he appeared differently than he did in Deus Ex Machina.
That's true. And even if Walt's bilocating right now, we haven't seen Walt in, a month and a half?
Something like that, yeah.
There have been kids, you know, when you were in school and you went away for the summer and you came back and it's like, wow, this kid's now 6 feet taller.
Yeah.
So it's not entirely without the realm of possibility. Also,
I was just happy to see him again.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care that he's all grown up.
They can't give him like anti-growth hormones. I'm fine with him growing up. It's an actor and it happens, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to nitpick on that. But it
and
really
the fact
cool.
that Walt was on an episode of Lost, I was really excited about. It's funny when you see these characters come back and it's just like, I really miss these people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The first time we saw Saeed after a long time on this episode, this season, I remember thinking, wow, it's Saeed. I know that guy.
Yeah.
But think about how this episode is kind of like the counterpoint to the finale of season one, because Locke gets taken away in season one, right?
Locke gets taken away.
Walt, I'm sorry.
Walt gets taken
Walt
away.
Walt gets taken away.
Gotcha.
And here we are, this one, Walt shows up again.
Uh-huh.
And then the stuff with Tom and Sawyer.
Yeah.
How he resolved that by shooting Tom, which is a bummer because I really kind of like Tom. But
you know what? As much as I grew to like Tom, and I know that a lot of people grew to like Tom, when Sawyer shot him,
Ed
said, this is for the kid, or this is for taking the kid from the raft.
Yeah.
I was happy.
It was,
because even though I like Tom, he's still the guy that took Walt.
That's right. Sawyer was right.
And I totally forgot about it. That didn't even dawn on me because it happened so long ago that when he said that, I was like, yeah, Sawyer's right. Sawyer's a fucking good guy. He's on our side.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can get to like someone because of their personality, and you can like try to gloss over things, but then the truth still remains that this is what he did.
Yeah.
And he answered for it, and you know, that was kind of cool. Fucking Mikhail is unkillable. Spear gun through the chest.
As soon as he was on the floor, I told Stevie, Desmond better walk up to him and shoot him in the goddamn head. Seriously. Right now, shoot him in the head.
Because he came back.
Shoot him in the head.
Yes.
Shoot him in the head.
Well, it looks like maybe that already happened. He's already missing an eye. I was kind of disappointed in Charlie for tipping his hand about Juliet, because that potentially could have been bad for the beach camp people. Because Charlie told Greta and Bonnie, oh yeah, Juliet's on our side. They picked up their walkie and told Ben.
Charlie in this episode was relying so heavily, and he believed in Desmond so much that he didn't care. He was about to die, and he was just going to say whatever the hell he wanted and try to get into their head. I thought Charlie was awesome in this episode.
I thought it was cool because Desmond's predictions and the fact that Charlie believed them so fully, I think it gave him strength, but I think it also limited him. It gave him strength because he was like, I'm not going to die until I drown, so do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Beat me up, Carrie. From Days of Our Lives, is who that actress was. Beat me up, Carrie, all you want, because you know I know that there's something on the other side of that.
Carrie from Days of Our Lives?
Yeah, yeah. The one that wasn't Andrea Barber. She was one of the Carries on Days of Our Lives.
I'll have to look at that again.
Yeah. Anyhow, not that we know.
Showing
that
our true colors, yeah.
I was
thinking Sammy. I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
But what limited him was the fact that he thought he had to do things Desmond's way. And so when Mikhail throws that grenade at the looking glass, he's like, okay, I guess I'll shut the door and drown now.
I'm wondering if, it seemed a little strange, but I'm thinking that maybe Charlie could only lock that door from the inside.
Maybe.
Because obviously Desmond couldn't unlock it from the outside, that Charlie was probably saving Desmond from drowning as well.
Yeah.
Like allowing the water to flood the whole station.
Yeah.
But why? Which doesn't make sense because Desmond has the scuba equipment.
And they've already got the transmission, so they know that it's not being jammed anymore.
I was hoping that Charlie would have closed the door and flipped like one last switch.
Yes.
Before, like while he was drowning. Because
it didn't. It
seemed like he had already thrown the switch, like it had already happened.
It was cool that he took the time to write out that message on his hand with his ever present Sharpie. Yeah. And give Desmond a tip-off, but it was useless because Desmond didn't tell anyone else.
But then Charlie did believe Desmond, and he feels because he didn't get stabbed in the neck with an arrow, that Penny didn't drop from the sky.
Yeah.
So he felt that the only way that they were going to get saved is if he drowned.
And
he figured, you know what?
Yeah. He does what he can for Claire and Aaron.
Yeah.
And in this case, it also happens to help Desmond and Penny.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just because Desmond says he saw Charlie drown doesn't mean that Desmond doesn't then take him to the beach and give him CPR. I mean, I know that's a slim, slim hope, but Mikhail, spear to the fucking chest. Locke got shot in the spine. So,
did he get shot in the spine? I heard some stuff where Locke got shot where his kidney would have been.
I heard someone say that, and I think that's very funny. But no, he said he couldn't move his legs, so I don't know if it's just, you know, every time he has a crisis of faith on the island, he can't move his legs again, or what happened. But did you see in the scene where he shows up again later, the back of his shirt is all torn open, like from the exit wound of the bullet, which is fucking hardcore to be walking around with a shirt that's tore because you got shot.
Yeah.
Maybe
it tore because he landed on skeletons, which is just as hardcore.
That's also
shot and landed on skeletons.
No matter what happened, he
you're rock and roll.
He was pretty core. That scene between him and Jack trying to stop Jack because Walt told him he had work to do.
Yeah,
but he didn't stop him.
Yeah, and it was funny because I thought Locke's not going to kill Jack because Locke can't kill people, and then it dawned on me later. Oh wait, he just threw a knife at Naomi's back,
killed her dead. For presuming she was bad, or believing Walt that she was bad.
I guess Locke felt that, you know what, Jack? You're going to be a man of faith whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You know what? Go ahead and do this.
You got it.
And Ben ultimately wins. Because Ben says, you don't want off this island, Jack.
And it turns out that Ben was right.
Yeah.
He got in Jack's head. It seems odd to me that Locke would come to that point and then not take steps. But I think he's coming into his own, how he's going to work with the island. He's not going to be one of the others where you kill good people just because they're in your way or they're not fitting into your scheme. But then again, he did kill Naomi. So it's like 6-1. I don't know how to interpret Locke with this scene. But
there's something up with Naomi that we don't know.
Yes.
Because obviously she doesn't work for Penny Widmore.
No.
Like she'd stated.
Yeah.
Not Penny's boat.
That's a lost band name.
Penny's boat?
Not Penny's boat.
Oh.
They can play, they can open for Ben Gardner's boat.
That's my band. Is that one of my band names?
I think productions is. Company. I don't know.
But it's Locke must have killed her for a reason. There was a reason why he killed her and not Jack.
So we can see Locke next the first Locke episode, him and Helen and two kids, and he remembers what happened to him on the island. Or he's been on the island the whole time. He didn't kill
Or he wishes her on the island. We still don't know
what his powers are.
What the black box is a metaphor.
Yeah.
For. Or the black box, not the black box, the magic box. Why don't they make Boone out of the black box?
the whole stuff with Jack. Now you figured it out pretty early, you said? The flash forwards.
No, but one thing I did notice was that his cell phone was very current.
Yes, that's...
And I just took that as like Hurley's Hummer in whatever episode he had a Hummer
in. Just to get what they can.
Yeah, it just seems like one of those things where...
Well, okay, let's break down.
Like, I kept thinking, oh, that's probably just Foxy's actual phone.
What other clues are there, do you think?
Someone did mention a fact that there was someone said, "Hey," or the doctor
is a hero two times over.
Yeah, Dr. Hamill.
Yeah,
said that, you know, hey, if it isn't the hero two times over.
And I thought that at the time because I was already hip to the fact that it was the future, or I was thinking it was the future.
Uh-huh.
I guess because for me, beards come after short hair.
Yeah,
just that was like my first thing when I saw him. I was like, is this after?
No idea.
I thought I had no when idea. You said two times a hero. I thought that, but then I thought it could count for the mother and the son. So because he rescued them both from the car. So
there's
a lot of and it's kind of like Fight Club, the movie we love to spoil.
Yes.
You know how Tyler Durden is actually Ed Norton, but
you
see him in the movie as Brad Pitt. We talked about it before, how it's like a tightrope you have to walk because it's like you want to give clues for when people watch it again.
And if you watch Fight Club,
yes,
any allusion to the fact that Tyler Durden isn't real in the film, as soon as they mention that, a big event happens directly after that.
To draw your attention away.
The last hint that he isn't real, Marla says, what do you mean Tyler isn't here? And it's this light goes off in your head. But just before the light fully goes off in your head, Bob is shot in the head.
And
he's like, and you're like totally, oh my God, Bob is shot.
And so she even has a line that right there would be like a slap in the face.
But yeah, but just, it's one of those things. It's like a I wouldn't say bait and switch, but it's definitely
manipulative.
It lets you know what happens and then distracts you.
Doesn't give you time to process it. Which
It happens in Sixth Sense as well. For those of you who haven't seen Sixth Sense.
We were talking about, like, if I were screening that movie and if I knew the story, I'd be like, there's too many hints, guys. There's too many hints.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to guess it. But I didn't guess it. Yeah. Either time.
I didn't see that final scene coming at all.
Yeah.
When the mystery of who was on the piece of paper on the newspaper clipping was enough for me to be like, who is it? Who is it? And I keep thinking of Jack's flashback characters. Okay, Christian Shepherd's already dead.
Yes.
Or we've already seen when his funeral is supposed to take place.
Yeah, so it can't be him.
That was not Sarah because he ripped the newspaper clipping before Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm like, who else is in Jack's flashback?
His mom.
Who's not his relative and not his friend? And I could not think of a single person, and it was driving me insane.
And there you were, distracted.
And I'm like, who the fuck is it? Is this some new, are we going to find some new character or something, or what?
Yeah.
This is very strange. They're obviously setting this up for some crazy ending, and it's going to be crazy. When they got to the scene where Kate pulled up in the car,
yeah,
and I couldn't see who it was, I'm like, who the fuck is it? Like, why is this person mysterious and in shadows? I assumed it was like he was calling Sarah or whatever.
Well, why could they be? Why were they mysterious when we're about to be introduced to them?
Yeah, and I'm like, I bet you whoever this person is has to do with whatever the clipping is. I'm like, who the fuck is it? I need to know. It's the last minutes of the show. Who the fuck was?
Don't end it.
Whose funeral was it? And then Kate shows up. And I swear to God, I'm not kidding you, I don't think I breathed or took a breath for 2 minutes.
Until she left.
I was surviving solely on my rapid heartbeat that I could hear in my ears. I could not believe it. I was like, oh my God.
And she's,
my God. Oh my God. And then their whole conversation is talking about how they've had a history post Island, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I was just standing there like, oh my God.
I can't believe it. Flashback.
Even though I thought they're going to be rescued.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
The whole
episode was about him post-rescue.
Yeah.
And I could not sleep last night.
You were just thinking about it?
I could not sleep. I stayed up late enough to download Jan Jack. Went to bed, listened to their whole show. Put on my shuffle and just kind of sat there and then dozed off. Then I would wake up like an hour later and with Jack standing there with that plane flying over in my mind. And I'm like, what's going to happen? Yeah. What happened? I know what I saw.
Yeah.
I understand that it's a cool thing.
Yes.
It's definitely a different direction and I'm totally cool with that.
Yes.
I love the island. But
you still,
I'd love to see that the characters are fresh, but just that scene of that weirdly lit dark scene
oddly
with them standing there.
And they're both different characters than
was
they've
just
been.
In my head. And I could not sleep and I woke up with a headache. And I got so many calls today, or not calls, but like instant messages and stuff from people saying, hey, this and this about Lost and Lost last night. And what do you think of this? And
I've dealt with Lost
like,
all night.
I've already, I'm so spent already on it that I don't even want to do
right now.
I don't even want to talk about it on the podcast because it's hurting me so much already.
It's like,
and then I called you and I said, come on, let's do this today. Let's do this on a Thursday and get this record over with. And I'm pleased with how this conversation is going.
Yeah.
But anyway, just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Like advertising for McDonald's. Like every time I see an ad for McDonald's, I'm like, is there anyone that doesn't know that there's a place called McDonald's? You're just bothering me with that. And that's the thing with Lost. It's like, I know Lost. I watched it last night, and it's full up in my head right now, and I don't have room for you to talk about it, too, because there's no space. There's just Lost.
I just, it's, wow.
Yeah.
I'm really glad I do the podcast, because I mean, there's so many times I wish I could just say, I can just get everything off my mind. And then I'm fine talking about it after the show, but it's just like one of those things where it's like,
this is a big one. Well, what do you think about him talking about his dad? You want me to get my dad down here? And if he's drunker than me, Red Herring, he was just high.
The whole time I was trying to figure out where it fit in the timeline.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, I think we're meant to think it comes after Thailand.
Yes.
I think it just seems like that.
I assumed with his beard that he was coming back from Thailand on the Oceanic flight, which I'm glad they got golden passes.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you very much.
Well, they can all see Oceanic together.
Exactly. And one thing that I did mention on the blog today was that I hope that Hurley got to show Saeed say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope that I hope he paid back Walt.
that too.
And if Charlie survived,
Walt's around,
I hope he showed him that he actually is rich.
Now I lost my train of thought. What was the last thing you mentioned before I started going off?
The golden passes, coming back from Thailand.
Yeah. The timeline. I had no idea what the timeline was, when he did mention, why don't you get my father down here? He didn't say, call my father.
Yeah. Just get him down here. But that other guy was chief of surgery, which is what Christian Shepherd did.
Yeah.
Up until he died. So that was another red herring that shouldn't have been a red herring.
Well, if he meant it literally, get him down here, does that mean, because we don't know where the body was.
That's true.
Like, why don't you?
Maybe he's saying, I'm dead sober.
Yeah, who knows? Jack was fucking crazy.
Yes.
Like, we've seen Jack crazy, but exactly. Jack has literally lost all rational thought.
He's high and drunk. He can't do anything. He can't function. He goes to this funeral and then leaves. Can't even look at the body.
His mind is totally consumed by the island.
Yeah, he was about to kill himself.
And so he's going to say, he's just saying whatever the fuck he can.
Yeah, you can't trust ravings of him. It's cool in the perspective of knowing what's happening now to see his room. So we went back and saw the scene of him in his room, fucking covered with plane tickets and maps.
Yeah.
And plots, like he was trying to find the island.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. If you got rescued from the island, shouldn't they know where it is?
That's the thing.
Can't he buy a sailboat?
Wasn't there, like, what happened to the island once it was discovered by the rescue party?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Did Naomi work for Widmore and Widmore still covering it up?
Did
they do something? Did they stick him in room 23 and brainwash him?
Yeah. Does the island not exist anymore because no one's on it?
What? So many questions and so many possibilities, and I can't believe we have to wait till February.
The island's still as mysterious as ever, even if they're not on it. Even if they're not even standing on it. It's still a crazy, mysterious island. What happened to Ben? Did the others go with them when they were rescued?
Was like we said before, is Locke still there?
Yeah.
Is Michael and Walt wandering around? What about the plane crash that's in the ocean?
Yeah.
That claims to be 8:15.
There's going to have to be, is someone, I keep thinking of potential episodes. Is there going to be some time where someone confronts Michael about what he did on the island?
Yeah.
I mean, or is he paying for it in
jail?
Who is
Kate with?
Yeah. And she's not herself.
She's not herself. She's not in jail.
She's been beaten down.
Well, either she's been beaten down or
she's tired of Jack.
Or she's grown up. She's not running anymore. That's true. Not that girl who runs.
Jack said, I love you to Kate.
Yeah.
Which my boss says is a Jim and Pam moment.
I mean.
And Juliet kissed Jack.
Yeah.
And Jack was all like. God, what else? We're touching on a lot of topics.
Greatest, most kick-ass moment in the episode.
Yeah.
Hurley's bus.
Oh my gosh. Remember last on our finale predictions when I said what happened with the bus? I said they were going to load it up with dynamite and roll it at the others.
Yeah.
Yeah, they loaded it up with dynamite.
Which is, you know what, it's funny. The whole time you were talking, Jorge decided to kind of fold his arms and kind of bury his head.
And not look
like
at
in us. The back of his elbow. What is that called?
Crook of his arm.
The crook of his arm. And kind of like not look at either of us.
Yeah.
And he just kind of listened to you and smiled. I took that as...
What a funny
Ben's,
idea.
Ben's has a tall tale to weave here. But
little did we know that it was Hurley who saved the day. I thought those guys were dead.
Wow.
I mean, I've been faked out before, but I was willing to say, hey, stakes are raised, people are gonna die.
I didn't think they were dead because they didn't show it.
Okay.
Or we didn't see the bodies.
Okay.
But hearing those three gunshots was definitely a tough moment to sit there.
Yeah.
And leave it up to Lost to kill someone while just seeing a radio.
Yes.
Like, to just take the bare bones of it, not show it, and just go straight for the emotional jugular.
Which, and that scene was awesome. Jack and Ben. Man. Ben was doing his best to manipulate Jack again.
It cracks me up that every time someone says, okay, you have a minute to do this, that the clock always starts the second hand on the 12.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a minute. Like, they just so happen to be at that moment. In Arrested Development, when they said, well, haven't you seen the news? And they turn on the TV to sit through commercials.
Yeah. I think there's a moment on Arrested Development where he's like, wait for it to come around. Wait, like he's waiting for it to come around to zero. He's like, why don't you just start there and count five from there? Was that not Arrested Development?
I don't remember.
Maybe it's Mr. Show. But that scene between Ben and Jack, where you think Jack's going to have to cave again because he's got to help these guys, and he's fucking takes a stance for the greater good, and lets them be killed for all he knows.
Yeah.
Because he thinks that that's what they have to do. That was huge.
Yes.
And then he beats the shit out of Ben.
Yes.
Again. And ties him up. And, so, crazy.
But you know what?
And you know what's funny?
Okay, go ahead.
I was saying it's funny because Ben is like, these are bad people that you guys are calling. You guys are calling down the thunder, and no one believes him because he's a fucking liar. So he's the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
You know, he's been so busy playing every side against himself and being this puppet master.
Instead of coming forward and saying, hey, here's the situation.
Yeah.
This is why you guys should stay on the island.
Yeah.
I mean, you think Ben would want to recruit more.
Now's the time to play it all on the table, if you think.
Yeah.
But I think there's something strong about the fact that Ben was at his camp with a bunch of others, presumably guns, supplies,
uh-huh.
and he rolled out with just himself, no weapons, just a radio.
Yeah.
That should have said something, I think, to the Flight 815 people. Because
yeah.
here he is. He's coming from a position of weakness.
Yeah.
And he knew they were there. They didn't trick him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that didn't get taken into account, I don't think.
And even though they already killed seven of their guys, Ben was still...
Not there for revenge, just there to save the island.
Yeah.
And try to save them, apparently. But again, you know, he muddied the waters with all his manipulating.
Yeah. Another just fucking just flat out great moment again comes from Hurley. Hurley on the walkie talkie. Not only did Hurley save the day,
yeah.
he jumps on the radio and decides to call him out.
Yeah.
Like, hey, others.
Yeah, that's right.
We got your guys or whatever.
that was awesome.
It's like John McClane in the Nakatomi
exactly.
Plaza getting...
Kaye, motherfucker.
Jumping on the radio and said, you know, started talking shit on Hans Gruber.
Hans.
just fantastic.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Good work for Hurley. And he got shot down again, so it was, you know, it was cool that it was the rule of threes is he goes and asks Charlie if he can help, he gets shot down. He asks Wade, Sawyer, and then three, he comes out of the jungle playing Shambhala.
Yeah, it was funny because when Sawyer and Juliet left Hurley in the middle of the field, I was like, Hurley should go get the bus.
You thought that? That's cool.
Hurley should really just fucking balls out, go get the bus. But we've been saying for a long time, oh, they should get the balloon and fly it around to shoot people.
Yeah,
and they should get the bus. But
my mom called me like right after that scene.
When for some reason, when Sawyer and Juliet said, do you hear something? The last thing I thought was the bus.
You thought
because anytime you hear something rustling in the jungle, it's either a boar or Vincent.
Or Rousseau. That's it.
But we knew where Rousseau was. Yeah. And I don't.
And Vincent was with
Vincent Hurley. Was with the other group, but we didn't see him at that point. So yeah. I'm like,
what's it going to be? I thought it was.
I kind of thought monster too, but when I saw that big fucking
blue bus,
I'm going to start calling Hurley the big blue boy scout.
Nice.
So Superman did come and save the day.
That's right. Superman as played by Jorge Garcia.
Wow.
That was kick.
And he ran over Ryan.
Ryan. Yeah.
Ryan.
Ryan Price.
Okay. Wow.
That was cool.
He ran him over and dodged bullets, apparently.
The guy was trying to shoot him while he was driving. He broke out the windshield, even.
Yeah.
And he didn't stop for nothing. He was fucking pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Really well done.
And then fucking Saeed breaks a dude's neck with his legs.
Yeah. While he was tied up. That was core, too.
Oh, man.
They that killed scene was 10 cool. others.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Well,
they killed seven.
They killed seven, and then those three, and then Bonnie and Greta were killed, but Mikhail did that. So a total of 12 others died in last night's episode.
Yeah.
Which is big losses.
Woo. Yep.
I was looking at the group when they were trundling up to the radio tower.
Uh-huh.
It's Flight 815 people, some chick from a French science expedition, some chick supposedly from a rescue mission. Who else? Oh, was Desmond in that group? No.
No.
But it's just funny to think of how all these different people... It's not just one plane crash.
Yeah.
It's like when you watch old episodes of Star Trek and you're like, ah, you know, they're exploring the universe, but the universe sure turns out to be a really crowded place. There's always some new alien to talk to.
Yeah, that was really funny. Yeah.
They had Carl, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They had Juliet, the recruited other. So, big old group of people. Juliet's eyes are still amazingly blue. So just so you know. So that's it. I think we've...
I've got nothing else, man.
I'm
spent. I'm done. I don't ever have to talk about this episode again.
I'm going to watch it again at home, and then I'm going to watch it again on DVD. But I'm going to try to put Lost out of my mind for a while, because there's only so much thinking you can do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, February.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't have much more to say about the episode other than I loved it.
Yeah.
And it hurt me.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically with my headache.
Yeah. And not breathing.
We don't have a coming up segment this week. So
4X01.
What do you say we get directly into Jimmy's segment and hear what he has to say?
Right.
I especially love the trekking through the jungle scene.
That was good music.
Oh, yeah. It was a theme that they used in the pilot episode when Sawyer, Shannon, Boone, Kate, Charlie, and
Saeed
went to go get to higher ground for the transceiver to work.
And that was where they first came upon Danielle's signal.
I thought
I heard a flipando in last night's episode.
What's that?
I thought I heard a flipando. Am I saying that right?
That
it's that instrument that Jimmy talks about that Jerry Goldsmith uses a lot.
Oh, okay.
Like in Planet and stuff.
I did notice a triumphant use of Hurley's theme when it came running through the forest with his...
In the bus.
Yeah.
See, I guess I was hoping that they would have been playing Shambhala again, because I think that's fucking hilarious. But
it was Hurley's moment.
If
and
there's
it was
triumphant
his
music
theme.
For Hurley's theme, then that's even better. So I will back down on the Three Dog Night for now. But let's hear what Jimmy has to say about the music.
All right, go for it, Jimmy. Take it away.
Hello everybody, it's Jimmy in Seattle. Once again, the Darmalars lost score. Credit where credit's due from Season 1 playing in the background. I've realised the last few weeks we've been referencing it a lot, but that's because it's been turning up a lot. And a little bit more about that later. What an episode! What a finale! I'm still trying to digest it, to be honest. Really did blow me away. Poor old Charlie. Doesn't everyone feel bad about wanting him to die now? Yeah, you do. Tell you what, why didn't he just step out, shut the door, say to Desmond it's not Penny's boat, get the scuba gear and then leave? I suppose it just meant that he'd die later on, I guess, so... It was well done. I love the end. I wonder if they did something terrible. And it's guilt that they have to go back to. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about all this in a minute. Back to the music in the background. Have a listen here to the opening scenes. Just after the Jack flash forward. On the bridge suicide, we got the actual... the preparation for the exodus from the beach. So you can hear a variation of credit where credit's due right at this moment. And also notice the percussion in the background.
Nope, but I made the best out of what we have.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think this is the upper register on the flipomba. When we've been hearing the flipomba throughout the season, we've mentioned it in past episodes. It's been very low register notes. This may possibly be the higher keys.
Don't turn back for any reason. I'm willing to give my life if it means securing rescue. I'm not giving it up for nothing. You understand?
If you just listen to the pace that the rhythm is creating and how it adds to the tension, it's nicely done.
Good luck. You too.
Not so long ago, Jack, I made a decision that took the lives of over 40 people in a single day. I'm telling you this because history is about to repeat itself. Right here, right now. Tom, are you there?
Check out this background music.
Yeah, I'm here.
Your plan killed 7 of my people. But the ones that you failed to kill are now holding your friends. Jin, Saeed, Bernard. At gunpoint.
Now compare this to Jerry Goldsmith, Planet of the Apes, 1968. We're always comparing to this particular score. There must be some form of influence. I would also like to point out that things go a little Herman-esque at this point.
Bring me the phone.
But at the same time, I'm going to bring in a little bit more Goldsmith over the top.
40 seconds. I'm getting them all off the island.
All of them!
Let me ask you something, Jack. Why do you want to leave the island? What is it that you so desperately want to get back to?
You notice it kind of went hand in hand there for a moment. The pacing was similar.
Father's dead, your wife left you, moved on with another man. Can you just not wait to get back to the hospital? Get back to fixing things?
Very sure that there's a lot of Goldsmith influence in the Lost Score.
Just get me the phone, Jack.
No.
10 seconds. Bring me the phone.
No.
I'm not bluffing.
I won't
do
it!
5, 4, 3.
No.
I'm so sorry, Jack.
It's prediction time. I think we're going to have a new musical direction in season 4. We're going to hear a lot more ghostly electronic synthesized music, particularly in future flashbacks, future forwardbacks.
Saw you on the news. Still pulling people out of burning wreckage, huh?
Old habits.
If this is the case, I'd welcome the change.
You look terrible.
Thanks.
Why did you call me, Jack?
Specifically, if it does represent scenes from the future.
I was hoping that you'd heard that maybe you'd go to the funeral.
Why would I go to the funeral?
Time for shoutouts. My first and biggest shoutout is going to be to you. Yes, you're just like Time's Person of the Year. It's all about you. If it wasn't for people downloading and listening to us and supporting us, we would not be in the astounding position that we find ourselves in the charts as I speak. So thank you for that. I'm sure Ralph and Ben have plenty to say, but it's quite unbelievable. Thank you also to, of course, Ralph and Ben and producer Ryan. I could not have done it without them. Ralph particularly for inviting me along. Amy and Kim, who else? Lost Initiative. Check them out. Download their episodes. They're fantastic. We're like their sisters. Dylan and Craig, the original Podfathers, thank you. Your legacy lives on. Then, the others, such as Jay and Jack. Wonderful support for us, thank you. And we've learnt a lot from you. I mean, we started this show off talking about Soon and her pearl necklace, and we ended with Jorge Garcia. I mean, great way to end, wasn't it? Thanks, Jorge. Really made our week. Plenty more to talk about, and I do intend to get a couple more shows out doing a retrospective of what we've learned musically in Season 3. I think we got 27 episodes of The Lost Score came out, I think, all up, including some of the midweek. So there's plenty to absorb. I do also know that we will be doing shows. We will be branching out a bit. Keep tuned, we won't let you down. And of course, in 9 months or whenever that eternity is, we'll be back to cover Lost. Until then, as always, this is Jimmy in Seattle. Hello to all the new listeners who came in on the last week. Whatever you're doing, be good. Be safe. Namaste.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. It's been a terrific year.
It's been a long, great ride, and thanks for being with us. And I hope, I mean, we might not hear from Michael Giacchino again, but we'll still hear from Jimmy.
Yes. During the summer, Jimmy is planning on doing a show. We'll see what happens. The summer is going to be crazy. We'll see what happens.
All bets are off.
I have talked to Jimmy about doing a special for his midweek show, maybe joining him on Skype.
That'd be fun.
And doing maybe some kind of Season 3 retrospective conversation with Jimmy.
Yeah, that'd be
cool. And then hopefully with our numbers being what they are this past week, maybe have enough...
gravitas?
Yeah, to get a hold of Giacchino. People do love Jimmy's segment, and we do talk about the score. We're probably the only podcast that talks about his score. And since we're now the number one podcast, at least for this week, of the last Lost fan podcast, he'd like to do some promoting for his Season 3 CD.
So
I'm gonna try to contact him again. Maybe I could get Jimmy to contact him, since he is the music guy.
He's the music professor.
Because if I can do just even a Skype interview with him,
that'd be cool.
That'd be great. I know I asked Jorge if he would invite me. I invited myself to a scoring session if he accepted a Giacchino invite. So Jorge, that stands. if you can swing it, and if it won't be embarrassing to ask, all right, if some rando comes along to the scoring session.
Come on.
It's literally been my lifelong dream to sit in on any scoring session.
Yeah.
I told my good friend Dan, who's a composer in his own right.
He's also a Ducks fan, so
yeah,
go Ducks.
Go Ducks, Anaheim.
Cup finals.
Anaheim represent.
Yeah.
That I would even go to a Hans Zimmer scoring session. Of course, I'd sit there and just laugh the whole time at the music. But
you could go to
just to be there just would be
to see how it happens.
Incredible.
I don't know if you ever heard the story, but I understand it. It might be apocryphal and not true, but I understand that one time Esquivel, for one of his records, had two different studios filled with orchestras and recorded one for the left track and one for the right track.
That's cool.
And tried to coordinate it across town or whatever over the phone. I don't know if that's an urban legend.
That's
or
probably something I think.
My fever dreams.
I think nowadays with technology, I think James Newton Howard was doing that for the King Kong score.
Yeah.
Because he had scored that film in 3 weeks, which the music's incredible. For him to be in having to use different studios because he had literally no time to write and produce a score.
I should ask my mom's friend. He plays the French horn in a lot of scoring
sessions. For James Horner. I talked to that guy.
That's right. Maybe he can get you to sit in. You would not sit in on Horner.
I
draw the line at Zimmer.
Well, if you imagine, my whole life, literally my entire life, I've listened to film music.
Yes.
My mom gave me my copy of Raiders of the Lost Ark by John Williams when I was 4.
So yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, if I finally end up getting to go to a scoring session one of these days,
you'd prefer it.
Prefer it not to be one of the two guys I really despise.
Fair enough.
But unless Horner's doing the score to Willow, which he ripped off from some Prokofiev.
Prokofiev?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't like classical music.
this is going to sound random. I'm going to throw it out there. If when Jack was about to kill himself, throwing himself off that bridge. First of all, it didn't look like it was enough height to fall, and that was kind of worrisome.
Uh-huh.
But also, if you kill yourself in the afterlife, you end up working a desk job in civil service, like the DMV. So
Jack would be in purgatory.
He would be right next to that lady that got ran over. He could work for Juno.
Yeah, or the showgirl that slit her wrists.
Yeah, exactly. So watch out, Jack. A little advice. And Charlie,
watch out, Jack.
Charlie would be whack. Like, water. Got to get back. I also want to talk about this. We had our episode this week, which I thought was really cool, the one with us and Jorge.
Yeah.
I posted it on my online forum because I was like, hey, guys, check out what I did. And I've been on this forum for like 5 years. One of the guys who I've been friends with like on the internet for about 5 years, his name's Sketchboy. At least that's how I know him. He said, hey, I didn't know you were one of the Dharmalars.
Wow.
So how does that happen?
That's really cool.
Like,
how's it going, Sketchboy?
Oh, yeah, what's up, Sketchboy?
We're totally here. Shout out. Casino Skunk and Interocitor.
That's really funny. Yeah, I've been on that forum, like I said, for a long time. I had a banner up for my signature advertising the Dharmalars. But now it's just a banner of the mural of me that's painted on my living room wall.
Uh-huh.
So he said that he found it while looking at Lost podcasts, and he listened to a bunch of them for a while, and he listened to ours and liked it, and hasn't listened in a while. But then when he heard that one, he was like, that's you? I thought, that's kind of random.
That's cool.
The internet makes it a very small world.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. There may not be much for you to call us about Lost-wise, but we're still going to have a You All Everybody segment in the summer.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to call it, but the Dharma line will be open for listeners. It'll be the Lars line, I suppose.
The Lars line, yeah. The hiatus line.
Drop us a line at
206-338-4261.
You can email us at dharmalars@gmail.com.
You can still be our friend and leave us messages at our group, our Dharmalars page on MySpace, which is myspace.com/dharmalars. I am no longer accepting friend requests on my personal page.
Okay.
That's just a thing I'm going to do.
It's just too many.
Yeah.
And visit us at scottandsteve.blogspot.com, which is where we hang out.
Or dharmalarspodcast.blogspot.com.
Where we post our episodes, and you can comment on the episodes there.
Yep. And, you can just, come by, say hey, go to any of those places, let us know what's up. We like hearing what people have to say. It's like meeting random people who happen to enjoy the same show we do. And then once they've heard our episodes, they know enough about us to know what kind of stuff we'd like, and they kind of at least have a gauge of our sense of humor. So it's cool to get, feedback from them now and then. So that'll be that for the summer. God, here we are.
We made it, by the way.
This is the end right now.
We made it. Remember when we were doing the Price is Right episode, and we were like, we're going to come back until not in Portland.
Yeah.
And we're like, can we really make it through all 16 weeks straight?
An episode a week.
Here we are. We just finished it.
A lot of people got mad at us because we couldn't even finish the first pod.
Yeah.
Because I had family obligations, but we made it all the way through one week after another. So
yeah.
Pat on the back time. Good for us.
We did it. Mike has been keeping count. Mike Campbell. We did it, bro.
We did it. Oh, I want to talk about Jorge and the director of Brick.
You want to save that for Dudukaka? Let's save that for Dudukaka.
That's something random we can talk about.
Yeah, we can talk about Jorge all day, but...
Well, do you have the ultimate movie to go out on for...
No, I do not, but I am going to end with something that I showed you before we started recording.
That'll be awesome. Right? Is it going to be you saying it, or are you going to drop in the audio?
I'm going to be saying it,
okay.
And then we'll play You All Everybody.
Okay, well... Guys, thanks for coming along with us on the Dharmalars. Be sure to stay tuned for the hiatus, Lars. We'll have a lot of fun pissing in the summertime. So it's been a good one, and thanks to the makers and actors and everyone that does Lost, because this is a fucking great show. So thanks, Ralph.
And thank you.
Lost a la vista.
And if you believe that, then you believe that there's Richard Simmons Jr.'s running around.
He's our governor.
I know.
Watch your mouth, dude.
You all, everybody, and we all the Lars.
Peace.
Oh, my God. Okay. Hey, what's up? This is Drake coming out of L.A. or off of bed. Okay. Yeah, funny. Okay, I didn't mess up on this thing a few times, but I'm going to try to do this the last damn time. I'm going to do it. Okay, so hopefully it come out right. Two things, okay. I think that the one is about Alex, Ben, and Locke. I think the thing is, you know, I don't think Alex really want Ben to die. I think she just don't like the fact that, you know, Ben is the, you know, like her father, and telling her what to do. Like most teenagers, if you tell them, what do you tell them? You can't have sex or whatever. Like you don't. I don't want you to have sex because you might get pregnant or get somebody pregnant or catch STD. Even though she know the island heals or whatever like that, Ben is looking at the fact that if you have, most likely if you bang somebody on the island or getting banged, you're gonna get pregnant, and that means you're gonna die. I think that's the whole reason, the only reason why Juliet came to the island was not to save all these other people, but to actually save his own daughter, to get the answer for her, because he don't want her off the island, he wanted to be on the island. But, you know, just knowing that she's going to grow up and get these emotions and all this other stuff, it's like knowing your kid is going to die, what you going to do? You're going to do anything to protect them, right? Okay. So, and then with the whole thing with the gun, I think that she didn't give Ben the gun, Locke the gun to kill him. I think she was saying that was like more of, okay, you're going to need, you got to watch your back when you're with Ben. I think the thing is because Jacob, even though he's a real person, I think that he's used more as like folklore or whatnot, like if you're bad to your parents, the boogeyman is going to get you like that. So I think only very few people have seen him. Like, I think Miss Cleo seen him, Ben, Miss Cleo, and, the sheriff chick. I think those are the only people that really know who Jacob is, you know. But other than that, if you went to go see Jacob, you was never seen again, or you was messed up or something like that. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, I think either you got killed or they did that brainwashing thing where you just came back and you was just loopy in the head. You that orange, clockwork orange stuff. Okay. Now, my other thing is with Desmond. I don't think really that Desmond was on the island. Like, I mean, of course he wasn't on the island. I think that Ben didn't know Desmond was on the island because of the fact that, you know, Ben didn't know they had a boat in season two. Or whatever. Was that season three? I forgot. Well, the thing is, since Ben didn't know that the Lawsons had their own boat, that means he never knew that somebody crashed on the island. And I think that's one of the only times Ben has been really genuine, like with the girl fell out, you know, the new chick that's on the island. When he said, he was like, what? What do you, how did she get on the island? You see what I'm saying? His reactions were genuine. Anything else, I think he already knows, and he got flashes like Desmond do. But this is the thing, I think old boy was probably sentenced to go and, you know, and push that button. And the thing is, the only reason why Ben, they monitor the stations or whatnot, I think they monitor the stations only when the Lawsons got there. Other than that, I think they really wasn't monitoring anything. Because if that's the case, then they would have known that possibly that guy that was hiding the diamonds in the toilet was there, you know, that he was down there. You know what I'm saying? So since Ben didn't know he was down there and just assumed it was somebody else, that means they don't watch the monitors. You see what I'm saying? So the whole, you know, the dude probably being sitting down there or whatever, when he found out Desmond wasn't the rescue that he was looking for, then he just decided to keep it a secret. Like, you stay down here, that's why you can't go outside. It's a disease on the island or something like that. He was really probably, he didn't tell him what the disease was. He just said that if you go outside, you die. Desmond didn't know any better, so of course he's going to stay in there. So I hope that's made some kind of sense or whatever. And, damn it, I can't think of a freaking...
Hey guys, how you doing, man? This is Paul from Hollywood, Florida. I'm pretty new to the podcast. You know, been a Lost fan since the beginning, and just really getting into it deep. Had a Mac and thought, like, how silly. Why am I not, you know, checking up on the podcast of this? Wondered if any existed. You know, overwhelmed about how many. Yours by far, I think, the most entertaining. I loved how on the last podcast, you guys spent the first, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes talking about health problems and shit in a cup. It cracked me up because I'm 43 now. I suffer with rheumatoid arthritis, and half of my, never thought I would. I used to make fun of people doing that, but half of my phone conversations now start off with exactly that kind of discussion. Talks about health and poop and, medical testing and things like that. Just cracked me up that that was like almost the first half hour of the podcast before you even got into, delved into any questions or even talked about an episode. So cracked me up. I'm right there with you. And it was a joy. Saw at the end a contact number and see that cough and must mean something. Just had to put in my 2 cents, and that's why I listen. It's right there. Just the kind of people that I'd call up and talk to and bullshit about what I'm doing, what I'm watching, and it actually takes the mind off of all the curious crap and the myriad of medical maladies that's happening with me. So kudos to you guys, and just wanted to say hey, and you're appreciated. Later.
Yeah, so much for Mikhail needing a glass eye. He pulled a one-eyed Willy on us right there.
Hey, Darmalars, this is Lauren from Missouri. I was just driving around, and I swear I just saw fucking Roger Workman's van parked in somebody's driveway close to my house. Oh, my God, I don't know how it got there. Adios.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre calling out of L.A. And with the season finale. Now, I haven't listened to the, I think I still got the last two of you guys' podcasts or whatever. To listen to the predictions and the greatest hits and whatnot. No, I'm kind of backed up. But anyway, this is what I have to say about the season finale, alright? Now, I think it had it. Okay, Desmond, remember a couple of calls back, you know, I was wrong about a lot of predictions, but it's a couple of things. Okay, a while back, I said this when, you know, really did time travel or whatever, like, you know, before it was confirmed and all that crap. Now, the thing is, I think what it is Desmond damn Sprint. I lost the signal. So, let's try this again. What's up, Ralph and Finn? This is Dre calling out of L.A. All right. Now, okay, I think it's a lot of stuff going on here. Like, I said that, you know, a lot of things or whatever in the past, I know I've probably been wrong on a majority of them. Okay, we're not looking at that. Let's not be negative. Let's go ahead and let's focus on the good parts, right? So, I think Desmond really did time travel and whatnot before it was confirmed and all that crap. So now, this is what I actually think happened. I think when he got zapped by all the rays and all that stuff, that actually, seeing the season finale, it actually went as far as, like, zapping him into, like, a damn near like an alternate reality, whereas he, certain things happened, he's seen certain situations, and it was similar because it was his life, but at the same time, it wasn't. The reason why I say that, now if that came out confusing, it probably did because, shit, I don't even know what the hell I just said. Now, the way I'm going to explain it is this, okay, two things. When Desmond bumped into Charlie a couple episodes ago or whatnot, when Charlie Flashback came around with the greatest hits, he was wearing different clothes and all that crap, right? Okay. So now with the season finale, with Jack talking about, you know, to the other doctor, the chief of staff, talking about, if you want to talk to my father, you got something to say to my father, you can call him or something. His father is dead. So why would you be talking about doing all this other stuff? I think what it is, and it's just summing up law, I think what it is they're going to come to a point where they're going to have to make a choice whether they're going to have to leave. Like, if they leave the island, they're going to have to switch with a alternate, like their twin, their doppelganger, or better yet, their alternate reality of themselves, where shit is slightly different, but it's, you know, it's pretty much the same. But yeah, in this thing, his father didn't die and all this stuff, but he still didn't end up getting the girl. He still didn't end up, his wife still ended up leaving him or whatever like that. So that's why he was drinking and all this other crap, right? No telling what the hell Caitlin did or whatever, but that's that, okay? Now, what's something else that I was trying to... Oh, the whole thing with the smoke monster, right? Or the island of people seeing things. I think what it is like, if you notice, every time when people see an image, like when Yemi, Echo seeing Yemi, all that crap, I think what it is that it's showing you the person that you need to see at that time to help you with your situation. Like, even though Jack didn't like his dad, he's seen his dad because he was looking for him, right? Yemi was the only person that girl would have seen and whatnot. When Ben was a kid, he saw his mother. He really wanted to see his mother. How the hell, he couldn't even remember his mother, right? So that's that. You know, so since Locke's dad died, and he wouldn't have seen him any damn way. And before, he didn't care about nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? He really didn't. He knew he messed up with old girl, but it wasn't nothing to change his life over, right? So I think the reason why he's seen, what's the dude named the kid? Michael's son. Damn it, I always forget his name. The reason why he's seen him is because that's really the only person that he reached out to, since, you know, since he was on the island. So by telling him to get his ass up, brush his shoulders off, and try it again, you know what I'm saying? He got work to do and shit. I think that's what pretty much goes on. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. All right? I just lost all kind of focus or whatever. It was good. I'm going to catch up with you guys episode tonight, so I'll be on track or whatnot, and we need to figure out what the hell we're going to do for the summer. Okay? All right, you guys. Take it easy.
Hey, welcome, Ben. This is Dre calling out of LA once again. I just had a thought, okay? Now, evidently, I guess I was correct or whatever about Desmond, them not knowing that Desmond was on the island in the swan hatch or whatever from the Lost Answers or whatever like that, right? Okay, that's that. But the main thing of what I caught is the whole thing with Charlie, okay? I don't know why I remember Charlie. I remember Charlie singing that song, Starting to Rain, or something like that. Or it was something where he went and helped the lady in that same situation, but it turned out that it was really like a ruse or something. Like he, I don't know if this is just me. Or whatever, it just seemed like that scenario about him saving that girl or whatever, or helping somebody in the alley it was almost like his own little con, like it was like like we've seen that clip before in some kind of way, maybe with an alternate ending, right? But then we see that same clip, but it's a different, you know, Charlie in different clothes. And Desmond runs into him, right? And then the third time we see the clip, which is on the season not the season finale, but on the greatest hits or whatnot, we see Charlie go and he's actually called a hero. It seemed like that whole scenario about helping somebody in the alley, like even they, he seen that going on and he walked past it and just let it happen. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like that damn clip happened before in one of Charlie's flashbacks. So maybe that was it. Maybe he walked and he seen somebody and he hesitated before going into the alley and we just never found out the resolution or whatever until this episode. But it seemed like that whole scenario happened before. You know. So I guess that's it or whatnot at work, so. Yeah, that's it. All right, wait.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And I'm John Milius the Great. And if you believe that, he also believed there Richard Simmons Jr. is running around. I love it.